This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Google may be stalking you, literally. In a few minutes, our exclusive investigation into how that company could very well may be tracking your every move. We've got some major developments on that tonight. But first, House Majority Leader Nancy Pelosi delivered the longest speech in House history today. Apparently, she went on for more than 8 hours in an effort to pressure Congress to give amnesty to illegal immigrants.
So now we have the first Republican president in modern times, the first president, really, who is anti-immigrant. To minister to the needs of God's creation is an act of worship. To ignore those needs is to dishonor the God who made us. We're not asking for something off the wall. It is something that is, maybe it is off the wall. Maybe the wall is the issue here. Your vote will occur soon after I yield back. I had no intention of yielding back, Mr. Speaker. Those newcomers with all of that hope and aspiration, they make America more American.
Well, it went on like this for many hours, as we said. She said a lot of things, but one thing Pelosi said was striking. Listen as she describes how her grandson badly wishes he were of a different race. Watch.
I'm reminded of my own grandson. He had a very close friend. His name is Antonio, who's from Guatemala, and he has beautiful tan skin, beautiful brown eyes, and the rest. And this was such a proud day for me because when my grandson blew out the candles on his cake, they said, "Did you make a wish?" And he said, "Yes, I made a wish." He said, "Well, what is your wish?" He said, "I wish I had brown skin and brown eyes like Antonio." So beautiful. So beautiful. The beauty is in the mix.
Was it healthy to hate yourself for the way that God made you? Nancy Pelosi thinks it is. And her delight says everything about the modern Democratic Party. Certain races are good, others are bad, so bad that it's considered beautiful to hate your own innate appearance and want it changed. And that, Pelosi is saying, is one of the main reasons she supports mass immigration. So America will look different, and in her view, better than it does now. Now, whatever you think of that idea, it is a genuinely radical sentiment. Nobody has said anything like that on the House floor for a long time. They used to, but they don't anymore, and for good reason. Elevating one race over another is the definition of bigotry. Pelosi may not be sharp enough to understand the consequences of what she just said. She may not even know what she's saying. But if you want to live in a country where everyone doesn't hate everyone else for the color of their skin, you ought not to say things like that. Democrats should stop talking like this in public.
This is amazing. You know, Scott, this is what they call, you know, on the House floor, you know, time is of a premium. You've got, 435 members there in the House. So you just can't go and, you know, filibuster. They don't allow for filibusters in the House. But, I mean, when I first read this, like, 8 hours? And, I mean, this is, like, unbelievable. And she just...
I'm trying to figure out I'm trying to wrap my head around what she said there.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what did she say?
I don't know. I'm not sure what she's saying there.
At what point of 8 hours do you say, is there a point here?
I don't know.
You want to set a record?
I'm honestly at a loss for words. I don't know what she was saying there. The point of that story, I'm not sure what the point of that story is. I'm without words.
it's like, why? You know, and I guess before Nancy Pelosi's record-setting magic minute, I guess, you know, you got to go back to 1909. It was House Speaker Champ Clark, the Democrat out of Missouri, And he spoke for 5 hours and 15 minutes. But as was acknowledged, he wasn't in stilettos. Nancy Pelosi was.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
After the top of the hour, welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. As always, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com for all the information you need to know. Hey, we've got a real treat for you. I've been looking forward to this conversation with Howie Kurtz. His brand-new book, Media Madness. Howie, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Good to have you with us.
Thanks very much.
Well, we got Howard Kurtz, the Media Madness, Donald Trump, the press, and the war over the truth, huh?
It is a war. And it is a war being really hard fought by both sides. You have a news business that, you know, obviously beats up on every president, but there's simply no question that the overwhelmingly negative coverage of President Trump in tone, in volume, is something that we just haven't seen before. And I think it's more than ideological. I think it's cultural, almost visceral. Dislike or resentment that many journalists have for this president. And on the other side, Donald Trump is constantly pushing back at, denouncing, sometimes by name, individual journalists, news organizations, the whole fake news mantra. That pleases his base, doesn't necessarily expand his base. And so in this book, I kind of go behind the scenes to let you know what the trench warfare is like between these major news organizations and the Trump White House.
Well, Howie, you've been involved in the media most of your life. I mean, this is in your very DNA. Have you seen anything like this where the reporting is 9 out of 10 times it's negative towards the president? I mean, this, you've got to go out of your way to hit these kind of averages.
Yeah, it doesn't happen by accident. I think that, you know, the conservatives have complained for years about liberal bias, but in this particular case, you've got a number of prominent conservatives in the media, including, you know, magazines like National Review, Weekly Standard, that are not fans of this president. It seems to me that Trump, you know, who I have actually known for 30 years, and he has a street fighting style that he honed in the New York tabloid market. And so I was one of the relatively few national journalists that didn't underestimate him because I knew about his media skills, among other things. It seems to me that, there are journalists who have decided, they decided in the campaign it was their mission to save the country from Donald Trump, and now they want to save the country from President Trump. That's not their mission, that's advocacy, not journalism.
Exactly.
And I think all this negative coverage actually ends up helping the president, because for one thing, it enables him to dominate the news cycle. Day after day after day, we're talking about, you know, the latest story, and some of these stories are legitimate, some of them are self-inflicted, story on Trump, Trump hitting back at the media hitting back at Trump, hitting at the media. And I think another reason is that it underscores the sort of gap, the chasm between many elite journalists in places like New York and D.C. and L.A., and a lot of people out there in the country who voted for Donald Trump, who support this president, who feel like they are viewed with disdain by the media establishment. And there are examples in this book in which I show that that is true. And there's also examples where we've got a New York Times reporter privately calling the president a racist, got others going on Twitter and disparaging him in pretty personal terms for people who are in the reporting business.
You mentioned examples. You touched on one lightly, but let's unwrap another, if you would.
Oh, sure. Let me see where I want to start. Well, you know, there are times when I think the president goes a little too far. I always say that, look, he has First Amendment rights, too. He's entitled to hit back against what he sees as unfair coverage. But when he punches down at cable news hosts, for example, tweeting about Mika Brzezinski of MSNBC and whether she had a facelift.
Yeah, right.
I thought that was, in fact, punching down. But the fascinating little scene in Media Madness where, after that, president's talking to Anthony Scaramucci, who, you know, spent about 10 minutes as communications director, and says, what did you think? The president says, I know what you're going to say, unpresidential. And the Mooch says, well, I didn't think you needed to go there. And Trump says, well, is North Korea off the TV? And Mooch says, yeah. Is health care off the TV? They were fighting to repeal Obamacare. And Scaramucci says, yeah. Sounds pretty good to me, says the president. So there are times when he hits back at journalists just because he's venting, he's angry, he thinks it's good politics. But there's other times he does it as almost like a matter of strategery.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, sometimes I think he's playing with the media at times, just teasing them because they are so frustrated. Because have you known of anybody that controls the headlines like Donald Trump does?
I don't think there's been anybody in the modern history of this country who controls the headlines like Donald Trump does. And I think that he also, sure, he baits them, he trolls them. I mean, remember that video he put out? It was like a WWE wrestling video, and the guy had like a CNN logo overhead.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, a lot of journalists were like, oh my God, he's encouraging violence against the journalists. And I understand some of those fears, but it was a spoof, you know. It was something that his supporters thought were funny, and so it just kind of underscores this constant state of warfare. I think it hurts both sides. I think it is, to some extent, is very popular with Trump's base, but maybe doesn't help him expand his base. And I write a lot behind the scenes here about Kellyanne Conway and you know, Jared and Ivanka, and when they were there, Steve Bannon and Sean Spicer, and you really get a feel for what their lives are like dealing with anonymous leaks, dealing with what they view as a hostile press corps. But on the other side, my fear is somebody comes out of the news business, loves the news business, is that the damage to our credibility by seeming so one-sided, by almost seeming to be what Steve Bannon called the opposition party, that's going to be pretty long-lasting, that damage is going to continue long after Donald Trump is no longer in the White House.
Exactly. Well, it seems that they've been on that trajectory for quite a while. And with the election of Donald Trump, it took off the handcuffs and says no holds barred. Journalistic principles are out the window. And I think to the injury of we the people, Howie, because why do we have the media in place anyway? But, you know, primarily to document history, and you would hope that there would be some objective perspective so down the road we can look back and say, okay, now I understand. But what I'm concerned with the kind of reporting that's been taking place, is that our history is going to be quite prejudiced and maybe out of focus because of the prejudice of the media right now.
Right, but at the same time, this is a president who's learned to go around the mainstream media, certainly through the powerful Twitter megaphone.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the age of social media, a lot of people have found many ways to get information by rather than relying, as they once did, on a handful of newspapers and networks, especially when you can get all the information on your phone in seconds now. But I do think that the damage here goes beyond the record high levels of distrust for the media. We used to be able in this country to kind of agree on some basic facts, and then we'd have the great debates, policy, personality, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, many people don't even trust the media to do the fact-checking, to be the truth squatters.
Right.
And once you've lost that, you have a lot of people, I think, who are sort of in their bubbles. They consume information that they already agree with, and that, I think, can hurt the country. But in this book, you know, I do a lot about the immigration battles, what happened after Charlottesville. You know, there have been mistakes on both sides. And I have wondered, you know, could there be a ceasefire? In fact, I write about a meeting about a year ago. The president had an off-record session with network anchors.
Exactly.
He said to them, the biggest surprise for me was that your coverage never improved. after he became president. There was never a ceasefire. There was never a lowering of the tension. And I don't see that changing now. Both sides are too dug in.
Well, Howie, we've got to take a quick break. We're going to be right back, ladies and gentlemen. We're visiting with Howard Kurtz, his brand-new book, Media Madness, Donald Trump, the Press, and the War Over the Truth. Stay with us right here on Bill Martinez Live.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you, too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calvin Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from 3 health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Emails direct. MSA free to Bill at BillMartinezLive.com.
Back with the America, 19 minutes after the top of the hour. According to the media, Donald Trump could never become president. Now many are on a mission to prove he shouldn't be president. This is what Howard Kurtz writes in his brand new book, Media Madness, Donald Trump, the Press, and the War Over the Truth.
This is what's happening. You know, it's the media conjoined with the deep state, if you want to identify it as such. Certainly, there is a movement in the Beltway, Howie, that is resisting President Trump at all, at every turn. I mean, he's had an incredible year, admittedly, out the gate. Never was supposed to hit 3% GDP. Might have been lucky by the end of the year. CBO was saying maybe 2% because that's the new normal that was established by Barack Obama. But this businessman, consummate CEO, says no way. His vision is we're looking at 3-5%. Hits 3% inside of 6 months. Stock market, all but here recently, has just been, the bulls have been running. Everybody's 401k is actually returning to a full 401k. It's kind of exciting.
Well, it reminds me of the infamous prediction the day after Trump was elected by Paul Krugman, the New York Times columnist and Nobel Prize-winning economist, saying the markets would never recover from a Trump presidency. And then, of course, we had this tremendous run of the market, even though the markets go up and down a little bit, as everybody knows. Mm-hmm. And so it seems to me that when I see the bias most is when the president gives a good speech to Congress or overseas, does something right. A couple of exceptions, like when he sent the Tomahawk missiles into Syria, he did get some good press. And by and large, it almost seems like many journalists are looking for the downside, mm-hmm. as opposed to, I believe there should be adversarial cover.
I agree.
But this is something else entirely, mm-hmm. and it's something that has gotten to be so personal. And, mm-hmm. The funny thing here is, because Donald Trump is so negative about the press, in interviews with me, he's talked about how he feels like some of his commentators just have hatred for him. He can't quite understand it. But there's another level on which he actually kind of craves the approval of the media. He got so much good press when he was a New York businessman, reality show star. That's when I first met him. Mm-hmm. And so he still gives interviews to what he describes as the failing New York Times. He
writes his hometown
paper to mm-hmm. kind of like him.
Yeah.
I write in the book that NBC's Chuck Todd of Meet the Press has been pretty tough on this administration. President Trump, unbeknownst to the rest of us, has been having private off-the-record meetings with Chuck Todd in the Oval Office. They usually start out with Trump yelling at Chuck, with Chuck yelling back, and then they settle down to have a civil conversation at the end of one of those meetings in front of the president. Chuck Todd turned to Hope Hicks and said, "We just can't quit each other." So he works the reps pretty well, even despite all of the bombastic attacks.
Well, how you imagine the people that are not used to the New York personalities, this would cause them brain damage to see this kind of interaction going on, right?
When the first time I interviewed Trump for television, as I said, I've known him for several decades. I interrupt him a lot. We go back and forth. And I said, the reason that we know how to talk to each other is I'm from Brooklyn and you're from Queens. Mm. And so there is a lot of that New York style. He can sound like the guy in the bar complaining, and his fans love that. Whereas journalists, he put a semicolon over here and he didn't, yes, look, the president does exaggerate sometimes and he should be called down on it, but journalists weigh every syllable, and that's not Trump's style because he's not, hasn't been at least, a professional politician.
And it makes it tough for the journalists sometimes because of this adversarial arrangement that they have, is that even when they're wrong, Donald Trump says, "Hey, I've been wiretapped," and they kind of laugh and mock him, because he used some old term concept of being wiretapped. But then you find out that whether you call it wiretap or being surveilled, and now the recent news is such as that Donald Trump is more right than wrong.
Well, I still think that was a mistake. It was one that sort of took the blindside of the staff to say that not only have I been wiretapped, but it was done by Barack Obama, who's a bad and sick guy. Presidents don't usually talk about former presidents like that. Mm-hmm. But, it's just an example of Trump does things his own way, and he's willing to pay the price. Like, he knows he's stirring things up. He knows these tweets are going to cause a great reaction. He sometimes enjoys sort of watching the coverage as something mm-hmm. he has said on Twitter or at a rally just goes completely and totally nuts. Mm-hmm. And there are times I think that works very well for him, and there are times I think it distracts from his agenda because it's catnip for the media when he
uses
that kind of language, or Little Marco, or what's the latest one, Little Adam Schiff.
Yeah, Little Adam Schiff.
And so we debate that instead of debating the merits of the immigration compromise.
Exactly. Well, sometimes, Howie, I think he does this for his own amusement. Then he just sits back there and just stares the pot a little bit. But like you, you know, I sit there and go, why do you do that? We've got things moving in a direction that I think are very positive. And it's like, out of nowhere, you know, it's kind of like Paul Ryan says, you know, he wakes up in the morning and looks at the tweets that he needs to say that he didn't read or something, or offer some plausible deniability because he can't justify them.
Right. Well, you know, the people who also say, why did you do that, are sometimes his staff. I mean, I've seen where Sean Spicer and Reince Priebus and Kellyanne are waking up and finding out that he tweeted something that they were not told about, then they have to go out and defend. And they've coined a phrase for the president. It's called defiance disorder. What that means is when they're telling him politically, like, don't do this, sir, don't do this, it's suicide, don't do it, he does it.
Yes.
Because he's Donald Trump, and he tells him what to do.
I am Donald Trump. Yes, exactly. Well, you know, and the thing is, what you mentioned here in terms of the staff, the people that are around him, they really take this stuff personal. But I don't think they take it as, you know, I mean, they take it to a level beyond Donald Trump. I don't think Donald Trump takes it that personal.
Trump has a very thick skin, obviously, would be where he is. But, you know, at the same time, when you put together this team of people who mostly had never been in government before, not just the president, but the people who he surrounded himself with, it became a pretty, this is eased somewhat, but not entirely, it became a pretty dysfunctional place.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of rivalries. There's a scene in the book about Steve Bannon and Ivanka Trump in the Oval Office with the president. Ivanka accuses Bannon of spreading all kinds of damaging leaks about her and her husband Jared, and he accused her right back. And it's true, if you, I break down the coverage and you see all these anonymous, you know, Trump aides, Trump advisors who declined to be identified, trashing Reince Priebus, trashing each other, but also making the president look bad. I mean, the guys they are supposedly working for, they will say, well, we're afraid he's going to do this, we have to rein him in. And so it's kind of amazing to me, in addition to the leaks from the State Department that, you know, from Obama holdovers about his private conversations with foreign leaders, that so many of his staff spent so much time firing spitballs at each other and using the press, which they say is so unfair when it comes to these personal feuds.
Yeah, go figure. Thank God for John Kelly, right?
Well, John Kelly has certainly imposed a level of discipline as a former general, but at the same time, now we're starting to see stories leaked against Kelly. Well, the president's fed up with him. Well, he doesn't like him telling him who he can talk to. So some of this, it looks like, is not going to change.
Well, it's the economy of the D.C. Beltway, isn't it? All the rumors and leaking and all that's
yeah, and,
part
you know,
and parcel.
I understand.
Right?
We journalists love leaks, and it's more fun to write about the palace intrigue than it is to write about the intricacies of the tax cut. But at the same time, I do think a lot of it's been self-destructive, and I think it drives some of the people there crazy.
Howie, a couple more questions regarding your book, Media Madness, Donald Trump, the Press, and the War Over the Truth. In the book, you, speaking of Steve Bannon, you write that he told the president, you're in danger of being impeached.
Yeah, that's cleaning it up a little bit. What he said was, and I won't repeat all the words on the radio, this was when Bannon, before they had this huge falling out, when Bannon was leaving the White House, he had used up his political capital. He knew it was time to go, wanted to go back to Breitbart, and he gave this sort of final warning to President Trump, and what he said was, don't think you're going to get away without building a wall. You've said it too many times at too many rallies, and if not, Nancy Pelosi is going to take over the House. They will swear themselves in and blanking impeach you. And so that's still playing out. Is there going to be a deal where there's funding for the border wall in exchange for some sort of compromise on the Dreamers? Bannon is a hardliner on that. Bannon also, I think, is in tune with Trump's base.
Yes, exactly.
That's one of his core promises, that he would not give that up. We'll see how that plays out.
Well, a rather in-depth behind-the-scene interview with reporters, anchors, insiders within the Trump White House reveal the unprecedented hostility between the media and the president they cover. Howie, one final question. The elite mainstream news reporters, you name, you quote them, they openly express their blatant contempt for Trump.
Yeah, it's really something.
Well, without a doubt. Howard Kurtz, an American journalist, author, best known for his coverage of the media. He is host of the Fox News Channel's Media Buzz every weekend. And great job on the book Media Madness, Howie. I appreciate the time.
Great to talk to you. Thanks very much.
Take care.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen Lennon with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you. And nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The Senior Living Advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralized the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
I'll tell you, doing what we can to keep them honest. If we're going to get this country back on track, we want to do it based on the truth, right? Instead of conjecture and opinion, you've heard me say time and again, in the absence of fact, truth reigns. That seems to be, you know, our culture today. But with that kind of proposition, we run a risk of building a faulty foundation. And heaven knows the foundations are crumbling all around us here. Probably for a time such as this, our political system is not for the faint of heart. You know, we're being stretched in all kinds of directions. Anastasia Boden is with us right now. She's an attorney with the Pacific Legal Foundation, a member of the Federalist Society, Regulatory Transparency Project. Anastasia, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Thanks for having me.
Well, Anastasia, in a time where regulations are being set aside by this current administration, originally Donald Trump said for every new regulation we were going to leave out two, and the latest count looks like it's even much more aggressive than originally projected, that with each new regulation, we've got 22 that we're dumping. But what you're here to talk about is the states right now using absurd requirements to restrict Americans from obtaining work licenses. And this is an environment where today it's being reported that unemployment is all-time low. So this is kind of contra, you know, the movement and the momentum that's happening in our country, and that is to get America back to work again.
That's right. One of the biggest types of regulations we need to get rid of in order to free entrepreneurs and people who need a leg up to just simply get a job would be occupational licensing laws. Those are those laws that make you go to the government and get permission before going to work and making an honest living. And yet we see that they are proliferating among states, and that's really unfortunate because what you find is that they actually have very little relationship to protecting the public. They're often just there to serve as an anti-competitive barrier to entrepreneurship and competition.
Well, you know, and for so long, we've maintained that we've had a lot of pent-up energy in our country of people that just want to be, you know, go out there and be productive, do what it is that they need to do for themselves and their families. And, you know, some of that, you know, has been released, and I think this is the excitement that we're sensing across the country. But in this particular area, as you say, in occupational licenses, you know, this needs to be brought to light and explain to our audience what kind of resistance, you know, everyday Americans are facing from these different states.
Yeah, when people think of occupational licensing, they typically think of doctors or lawyers or occupations that just traditionally have been subject to licensure. And that's one thing, but that's not what we're talking about here. What we're seeing is that in order to go do something simple that really would have no effect on public safety, you have to jump through a bunch of regulatory hoops and go through all this red tape, pay a bunch of fines, spend a bunch of time before going to work. So we're talking about simply blow drying hair. If you just want to blow dry hair for a living, that's all. You know, we see blow dry bars where it's not cutting hair. There's no scissors involved. Just to blow dry hair. You need a license for that. If you want to upholster a chair, if you want to be an auctioneer, if you want to, be a personal trainer. I mean, we see these occupations that have never traditionally been, subject to licensure. And yet there's regulatory creep that continues to license more and more occupations and keep more and more Americans out of jobs.
And it's just a way for the states to get some passive income, right? I mean, it's just a passive tax in essence, right?
It's not only that. It's also a means of the entrenched business interest to put up a barrier to new competition. I mean, what we see is that it's not the consumers themselves going to the legislature and saying, please, please protect me from these dishonest workers. Drive my prices up by imposing new licensing laws. No, what we see is that it's the businesses themselves who go to the legislature and lobby for these laws because they are able to satisfy them. They're able to absorb the new costs. And what they want to do is keep, you know, the new types of competition, the little guy, out. And particularly harmful when you think of all the new technology that's allowing all sorts of new innovative businesses, or should be allowing all sorts of new businesses to come and serve customers. And yet there's this regulatory tape that keeps them out. So Uber, which people love, had a very hard time getting started up because of the old antiquated taxi licensing laws that simply serve as a barrier to new competition.
Well, you know, and you bring up this point. I mean, there's nothing new under the sun. So this is from an old playbook, right, that has been used time and again in order to minimize competition.
Certainly, you know, the idea just goes back. Adam Smith was talking about how the guilds are going to get together, and it's never a good idea because they're just trying to keep people out. But, yeah, literally some of these laws that are on the book are hundreds of years old. I mean, one of the most egregious types of laws that we find, because I sue, I challenge these laws for a living. One of the most egregious types of these laws is called a competitor's veto law. And you, when an entrepreneur goes and applies for a permit, the government will give notice to all the existing businesses of that application, and then the existing businesses can protest that application for any reason, including the reason that they simply don't want to compete with somebody. And that protest will subject the entrepreneur to a government hearing where they have to prove to the satisfaction of the bureaucrat that there is a, quote, need for their business. Now, this type of law is a relic from the early 19th century. I mean, it was enacted in days when there were these outdated notions about competition. It has no business being on the books in modern times when we recognize that competition is good. But because of inertia, it stays on the books and it keeps people from jobs.
What are the chances here, Anastasia? I mean, I appreciate, you know, you reported this in FoxNews.com, and I appreciate you bringing this to light. It just seems like this is, this has been quite institutionalized. I mean, what is it going to take to, level the playing field here?
Well, the good news is that as the government is trying to license more and more occupations, just getting outright crazy in some of its ideas. I mean, there was a movement in New York to license pet sitting. I mean, you didn't have to have a license to be a babysitter, but they wanted you to have a license to be a pet sitter. And as we get these really arbitrary and onerous things going on, the public is waking up and saying, something's not right. This isn't about public safety. This is about, protecting entrenched business interests. And as we bring awareness to this, there is a movement right now to release some of these entrepreneurs and free them from these regulations. So I think there is hope.
Yeah, we just need to, there needs to be more public outrage to this. And of course, for the state, I mean, you know, I mentioned, and you say that that's kind of the state partly justifies it because they say, hey, look at the, you know, we got new taxes here. We got new, registration fees that come into play. I mean, I'm in California these days and they just raised car registration by $100. I mean, and gas taxes have arbitrarily gone up because, you know, they're financially in trouble and, you know, and Governor Brown wanted to raise taxes again, and the people are revolting here. So, you know, this the power is with the people, and if they stand up and say something about it instead of just sitting back and taking it. It seems like, you know, government may be pushing to that point to where, you know, you're going to get some response from we the people, right? Hopefully.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think if we have more information, people can reevaluate the necessity of all these laws or the necessity of government in our lives. Because what we're finding is if you look at the actual studies, the studies that are coming out now show that licensure does not lead to improved outcomes. It does not lead to a higher quality of service. It only serves to drive up the price and to lessen competition to keep innovative services out of the market. I mean, they've done some studies in all sorts of industries, in dentistry, with mortgage brokers. And again, these studies show that occupational licensing is not doing what everybody assumes it is. Instead, it's acting as a tax on us all.
Well, Anastasia, I like what you wrote here, too. People may not be aware of in Maryland, if you're behind in paying your state taxes, you face a perverse situation. You need money to clear yourself of the debt, but anyone with unpaid taxes is automatically prohibited from obtaining or renewing an occupational license. Well, we know that there are people in government with unpaid taxes, so maybe the state should block them from, you know, serving the government until they pay their taxes, huh?
Yeah, that's right. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. Yeah, but this is an especially egregious abuse of the licensing power. I mean, the licensing power is there to protect the public. It's not there to do anything else. And yet here we have states now saying, hey, if you're behind on your taxes, if you're behind on your student loans, if you have any unpaid debt, if you have outstanding...
Exactly. Well, we're out of time right there. Anastasia Bowden on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Anastasia. Appreciate it.
On February 16th, from PureFlix,
Samson, chosen by the living God to be his hand of vengeance.
Who is this God who gives you such strength?
Three vows were bestowed upon me. No wine. No touching the dead, no cutting of my hair.
A hero will rise.
What if you wanted to fight? You should have brought more men.
Chosen.
He has the strength of a god. I saw it with my own eyes.
Betrayed.
You find me the secret of his power.
My Delilah.
Samson, the Philistines are upon you.
Redeemed.
My strength is now your strength.
No!
My name is Samson. You will face the wrath of God.
Samson. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. In theaters February 16th. For tickets and information, go to samson.movie.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Over the last 4 years, three of the biggest online precious metals dealers have gone bankrupt and their owners put in prison due to theft and fraud. Having previously purchased precious metals, can you be sure you purchased the right product? Did you receive proper advice? Or were you stung by one of these companies? Miles Franklin has been in business for 29 years without receiving any material customer or regulatory complaints ever. Maintaining an A-plus Better Business Bureau rating and residing in Minnesota, the only state in America that regulates the precious metals industry, making doing business in precious metals with Miles Franklin the safest choice, bar none. Call us at 866-485-4346 and let us review your portfolio at no commitment whatsoever. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Get the peace of mind you deserve in working with a precious metals company with a reputation like Miles Franklin. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Miles Franklin Precious Metals, the name you can trust.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the packed bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Hey, D.C., there's still such a thing called the Constitution. Remember? Bill Martinez, live.
It's Wait Like Me, fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, fresh and independent, okay? And it's not just because I'm ornery. It's just that, hey, look, it's, so much has to be pursued in the pursuit of truth that there's just not time to be hamstrung with other people's ideas of what it's all about. And I know our next guest always loved to have Ted Hayes with us. He appreciates that. Ted, a member of the Project 21 Black Leadership Network's National Advisory Council, longtime L.A. area activist known for his work on issues such as civil rights, homelessness, and immigration. Mr. Ted, always good to have you with us. How you doing, sir?
Thank you, Bill. I'm doing very good. Thank you very much, and I'm honored to be back to share with your listeners again. Hello, everybody.
Hey, we want to talk about Edwin Jackson's death. Boy, it's absolutely heartbreaking that, what has happened here and all the details. Break it down for our audience, if you would, Ted.
Well, apparently, ladies and gentlemen, the young football player, Edwin Jackson, 26, this young man, he really worked his way up into the professional football league. He was not drafted from high school into college. He was a walk-on, hustled, really worked hard, good attitude, respected people and very much respected by people. Mm-hmm. And he was the star linebacker. Made his way to this being the star linebacker of the Indianapolis Colts. Well, on Super Bowl Sunday, early in the morning, he was going somewhere, and an Uber driver was taking him to his destination. And apparently, Edwin got sick or something, and the Uber driver pulled over. He got out of the car to get fresh air, walking around, whatever. And while they're standing by the car, a big old black pickup truck comes along, smashes into them, and kills them both.
Mm.
And the runner apparently gets out of the vehicle and he runs. He's running. And so the people caught him, the police caught him. Turns out, folks, that this individual is a citizen of Guatemala within the United States without proper and official permission from the authorities that grants entry into our country. On top of that, this person was deported twice. Once out of California and somewhere else, and he returned. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, ladies and gentlemen, this Guatemalan citizen illegally within our country was intoxicated.
Yeah.
He was drunk.
Yeah, his blood level was astronomical. I mean, it was 0.239. Legal limit, of course, 0.08. Almost four times?
Yeah, it was up there. And it's not the first time he was stopped on a DUI. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, folks, it just happens across the country on a fairly regular basis where these people will either kill somebody or just tear someone's car up, and then they'll take off and they run straight back across the border where they cannot be apprehended. Fortunately, we caught this guy before he got away. Mm-hmm. The thing that's really also tragic is one thing for this guy to have done this, but what's really, really tragic is the silence of the media,
mm-hmm.
conservative and liberal, the silence of the Republican, well, before that, the silence of the Democratic Party, who's been pushing for illegal immigration invasion of our country, silence, most importantly, from the Republican leadership. They've said nothing about this.
Yeah, and this is amazing. Why would the GOP be so quiet on this?
Because they told me, two top congressional leaders told me several years ago when I presented them an idea that would really stop illegal immigration by pointing out how it affects black people the most, right? And he said, well, we understand what you're saying, but it's too controversial. So what do you mean? Well, the Hispanic Latinos won't like that. I said, and? So, well, you know, we need their votes. We don't need the black vote. We have won all of our presidential elections since Nixon without the black vote. So it's irrelevant. So why should we risk black people when we can get the Hispanic vote to save the country? Then we go back and help black people. And he said, it's kind of wrong thing, isn't it? I said, no, not really. I understand what you're saying. You need the numbers to win. But morally, yes, you're off base, man. Lincoln
That's right.
wasn't thinking about voting. He was mm-hmm. thinking about the moral right thing to do for our nation to live up to our Declaration of Independence, our constitutional laws.
See, the problem we have here, Ted, and this goes back, this is all this stuff is foundational. And I am against all this hyphenation. I've been against it from day one. You know, it's like one black pastor here on the heels of the celebration for Martin Luther King.
Yes,
you know, when you hear all this stuff going, black America, black. He goes, look, it. I lived black America, is what this pastor said. Black America was separate drinking fountains. It was back of the bus, restaurant restrictions and on. That's black. I don't want black America. I'm not a black American. I'm an American. And I said, here. You know, and it's the same way, you know, Hispanics who are being misrepresented by some of these activists, you know, they are misrepresenting us because, look, we're here to protect all people. You cannot protect one group because if you do that, you always do it at the expense of another. You know, it's faulty logic by these politicians to think, oh, we have to protect this voting class in order to get this other. What happened to the United States of America, Ted Hayes?
That's what they was telling me, you know, and they were embarrassed by it, you know, and I understood that. I didn't get mad at them because I understand the dynamics of what's going on out here.
See, I'd have been in trouble there. See, Ted, they'd have taken me away. I probably would have, you know, turned some desks upside down, you know, because that's idiotic. Because what they're doing is they're protecting a class of people that do not have skin in the game. And what's coming out recently, and of course they've hid these figures for the longest time, and it points out the obvious, and that is that people who are here illegally, they come here breaking the law, so they have no respect of the law, just like this man. And of course what happened in the Kate Steinle case, we have somebody, a felon who's been back, five or six times, right? And so on and on. And, you know, the Remembrance Project is documenting these families that have been affected by illegals who are not respecters of the law. So if you're not a respecter of the law, why should you obey it?
Exactly correct. You know, and on top of that, Bill, more than the Republican leadership failure, where was the CBC? And more than CBC,
mm-hmm.
all them brothers like Colin Kaepernick, who ain't a brother, taking the knee. Why
right.
did they take a knee on this one, NFL? And that
exactly.
was that was the basis of my article that I put out the other day through Project 21, was that, come on, black NFL football players, here is a black man with dreadlocks even, mm-hmm. one of your own football players, murdered by a foreign invader. Where are you now?
Exactly.
Nowhere to be found. So, you know, I would like to, but by the way, when off air sometime, I want to tell you who those congresspeople were
mm-hmm.
that gig.
Well, when we get together next week. All right. We're gonna lay it out. I can't wait for this opportunity because, you know, I'm here on the West Coast with you. So I'm looking forward to our time together, Ted, to, you know, talk about these issues and other things. You know, I just so respect all your work and what you've done over the years, in dealing with immigration. It's not only the effect that it has on people of color, but even, you know, the Hispanics are understanding that somebody here illegally is taking their place and pushing them back. It's, you know, one of the things that we learn even as kids, right away, one of the first things we learn is it's not fair. Right, Ted? I mean, you don't even have to be a genius. You don't have to be waiting until you're 21 to figure it out. You know, you go to a school and go to kindergarten in the sandbox, just sit there in the sandbox, and you find out that these kids figure, hey, it's not fair. And they'll tell you right there.
That's true, sir. That's very true. But, you know, I think that a lot of our problem as U.S. citizens, I mean, we feel very bad about Edwin Jackson and, mm-hmm. and Jeffrey Monroe. Jeffrey Monroe, folks, by the way, he was the Uber driver that was killed in this whole incident. And I'm sure his family is just tore up over this. And we got people on the ground down there in Indianapolis from Project 21 who's looking into all of this, and hopefully we'll find the family and, you know, relay our condolence and let them know that we are working on the issue. But I think the real big problem here, folks, is that we American citizens, we do not appreciate our citizenship. The only time that we think about our citizenship is when we go to fill out an application for a job or something. They ask you, are you a citizen? And we check the box. We flippantly check the box. Mm-hmm. You know, because we don't appreciate the citizenship that people have gotten for us, other people see a void, foreigners, and they take advantage of that void, and they take advantage of our citizenship. And because we don't appreciate the men and women who died for us to have this citizenship, other people don't respect it either. You have foreigners even coming here legitimately to our country, criticizing our country, just got here and criticized, and they tell us that this is or is not American. How in the world do they know? You see? And then you hear them say, well, Donald Trump and the white man in America, it's racist, Nazis, KKK, and all that. Well, if that's the case, why are you coming here?
That's right. Exactly.
Why would you? The Jews were not trying to get into Nazi Germany.
Mm-hmm.
You should, if you know what I said, Bill, you know, if you want to play the race color thing, people won't want to hate this white man so much. Well, why come here? Why aren't there brown men? They're black mm-hmm. men. They're yellow men in their country. Why don't you do that in your own country?
Exactly.
You see, well, but yeah, you're going to come here be with this racist white man?
Mm-hmm.
What I tell people, you better hope that Donald Trump is not the racist, redneck, Nazi bigot y'all trying to make him out to be, because if he is, you guys are in some serious trouble. He better get across the border before he builds a wall and keep you in here.
Exactly.
I said to some of them, and they choke. They go, oh, you're right. Yeah. Think about that.
Yeah, let's sober you up with a little bit of reality here. Why not? Ted Hayes, member of the Project 21 Black Leadership Network's National Advisory Council, as I say, he's been known in Southern California for many, many years, working on civil rights, homelessness, and immigration. Ted, always an honor. Great to have you with us, buddy. Look forward to getting together with you next week. It's Bill Martinez.
Nice to see you.
You've got it.
Okay.
You got it, buddy. Thank you.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did.
Hmm.
We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $9.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever.
Hmm.
Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
It's an